This is episode 42 of Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, featuring Natalie Unwin-Carroneri of the Earth Institute, Columbia University.
You're tuning in to Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, where women share inspiring stories about their careers in green business, sustainability, and conservation. Here's your host and founder of Trashy Beauty, Barbara Lee.
Hey, Eco Warriors, happy fall. It's totally cooling off here in New York City with the start of the school year. And it reminded me about the different paths that people take towards their green career, one of which is education. There is an amazing program right here in New York City called the Earth Institute at Columbia University. The Earth Institute blends research in physical and social sciences with education and practical solutions to help guide the world towards a path of sustainability. Their initiatives focus on everything from water and climate to urbanization and agriculture. There are a number of different programs that fall under the Earth Institute, including a master's program in climate and society, as well as sustainability science. In this episode, we chat with Natalie Unwin-Carroneri, the Associate Director of Education at the Earth Institute. Natalie tells us about the programs at the Institute, as well as gives advice to anyone who is considering a career change into a green career. I think that this was really important for us to share because there's no one best way to pursue a green career. Everyone takes their own path. If the pursuit of education is what will help you feel like you have the knowledge to pursue a career in sustainability, here's your calling. Let's get trash talking.
Hey, Natalie, welcome to Trash Talking.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Yeah. So if you want to just explain a little bit about what it is that you do and who you are.
Sure. My name is Natalie. I'm a culinary and I'm currently working at Columbia University's Earth Institute as Associate Director of Sustainability Education. In my role, I direct the operations of an undergraduate program in sustainable development. I also manage sustainability-focused professional development and training programs for the undergraduate program and some of our master's programs. And I'm responsible for corporate outreach and partnership building that's related to special environmental education initiatives. So just to give you a little bit of background on what the Earth Institute is, we are a research institution at Columbia University that is focused on understanding Earth systems and the science behind that. We have about over 25 different research centers that are focused on things like renewable energy and climate change and water and tropical agriculture. So we've got world-renowned scientists and researchers that are working there. We also try to connect that research to our education programs by having those researchers and scientists inform the curriculum behind the programs, develop new programs, and also teach in the program. So there's a really strong link between the research that we do in sustainability that informs the education that we provide to students from the undergraduate level through to different master's programs that we partner with different schools to offer.
Cool. Amazing. One of the things that I wanted to kind of chat with you about is that, you know, there's lots of different ways to approach working in sustainability. So what are some of the success stories? Like, what do people who are leaving some of these programs and working with your specific institutes, what do they go on to do?
It really runs the gamut, and I think that's one of the exciting things about an education in sustainability. It's a broad, complex, constantly changing field, and so there are a lot of opportunities out there in the public sector, in, you know, city government, in the private sector, and also with nonprofits. So we have alums from across our different programs. They're working pretty equally across those public, private, and nonprofit sectors. Policy managers and researchers for government, they're working for organizations like CDP, like the Clinton Global Initiative. One of our alums is heading the sustainability initiative at JetBlue. So it really runs the gamut, but there's a lot of really exciting opportunities out there. Students that are coming to study environmental science and sustainability and policy all have a similar interest area. And so we try to connect them so that to help them with professional networking.
I guess let's talk a little bit more about you personally. Like, what's your interest in working with the Earth Institute and your interest in sustainability?
Sure, absolutely. My interest in sustainability came around in a sort of circuitous route. My parents aren't American. My mom's British and my dad's Zimbabwean. and both of them work for the UN. And so growing up, I was exposed to different cultures and people and ways of living. And my dad grew up in rural Zimbabwe where resources were scarce. And he always taught us not to waste things like food and to treat our belongings with respect because he expected them to last a while. And my mom was and is an avid environmentalist. And from the time I was a kid, she taught us to appreciate sort of the beauty and fragility of nature and was always very adamant about conserving water and energy and recycling. And so I say those values of environmental conservation and thoughtful consumption were instilled at me at a pretty young age. So I studied sociology and psychology in undergrad because I thought the topics were fascinating, but I always knew I wanted to do work that had a bigger impact on the world. In the private sector, for the first few years of my career, I was doing project management and then later corporate training and development work. And I decided to go back to graduate school to study policy and international development. And I did a dual master's in public administration at Columbia University in New York and public affairs at Sciences Po in Paris, where I had the opportunity to pursue interests in corporate social responsibility and microenterprise development and global water and energy policy. And so while I was in grad school, I did an internship in Zambia with this incredible organization called Chikumbuso Women and Orphan Project. And I provided business development advice to a women's microenterprise there, which taught widows who were affected by the HIV/AIDS crisis how to crochet discarded plastic bags into beautiful bags and other products to sell locally in country and internationally as an income generating activity. And so plastic bags were and are a huge litter problem in Zambia and elsewhere in the world.
Sure.
And so I was able to really see firsthand how waste could be recycled and used for raw materials for the women's project. And so, you know, there are a lot of projects like this in Africa, but for me, this was my first exposure to it. And also in grad school, I was able to learn about the connection between the environment, development, and institutions when I worked as a graduate consultant on a corporate social responsibility project with the Fair Labor Association in China. And So I led a group on site visits to different factories there where we interviewed employees and managers about how the financial crisis of 2008 was affecting wage policy. And in doing that work and research, I began to learn more about how environmental issues were being integrated into CSR and institutions more broadly. Those experiences prompted me to start thinking about job prospects that had an environmental component to them. And so I learned about the Earth Institute while I was studying at Columbia. And so when I graduated in the tail end of the financial crisis, it was one of the places I targeted to look for work. And I was really lucky to be in, you know, the right place at the right time when they were starting the undergraduate major. And so I actually started there as an intern, and my role has grown a lot over the past 8 years. So not a direct route, but, you know, I think by following my interest, I was able to wind up in a really fulfilling career.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so cool that you, like, I feel like it's not a direct route, but I still feel like that's the, it's pretty clear that you had this very strong interest in the environment, and then you just kind of like made it happen to make that your work.
Definitely. Yeah, I think it's important to just follow interest areas, and making decisions that are informed by your passion and your interest areas will lead you to the right place.
Yeah, absolutely. What would be your one tip for someone who is trying to live a more eco-conscious lifestyle?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I would recommend trying to consume less and smarter. I feel like our society and economy is built upon having, you know, the latest fashion and newest device. When you stop and think about the resources that actually go into providing all of those things that, in my opinion, I like maybe don't need, it's really staggering. And so I would say, you know, I'd recommend checking out your local thrift store, making a commitment to making your home more energy efficient if you're not already doing that. You know, small things you can do in your daily life, like you're reusing silverware and bottles at work instead of using the plastic or paper stuff. And, you know, maybe eating less meat. I'm a big meat lover, but agricultural greenhouse gas emissions are you know, a pretty big contributor to global warming. So I think that those are things that people could do on an everyday basis that would have an impact.
And what's your take on, I know that it's hard with this, like, debate, especially nowadays with how much education and continued education can cost. There's always this debate between, like, do I get work experience? Do I go out and do the things that I want to do? Or do I get an education and try to build my career that way? And I know that it's this catch-22, right? Like, it's very expensive to get a continued education now, but, like, what do you think are the benefits to it? And when at what point would you advise following that sort of path for someone?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think obviously I work in education, so I think it's very important. But real world experience is also valuable. And so particularly for the master's programs, you know, we look for people that do have some sort of real world experience. I think that that helps to bring, you know, a different perspective to the classroom that's not just academic and textbook. So in terms of problem solving, I think that that's really important. So yes, education is very expensive. However, you know, there are a lot of resources out there to help finance it. And I think, you know, in my own experience, having gone to graduate school, coming out, you know, there's definitely an increase in salary on the back end that can help to make it worth it. But I think it's a personal decision for everyone. I think that it's valuable. I think that in the job market these days, especially in sustainability field, employers are looking for people that have a, you know, some sort of technical background and some knowledge of environmental science. And so I think that that's important to have. You know, everybody has to look at their own financial situation and decide if it's the right move for them at this point in time. But I think it's definitely valuable. It helps get your foot in the door, can help you advance within organizations that you're currently in. It's a good tool.
Oh, awesome. And at which point would you like advise that someone like try to pursue this type of degree and try to get more experience? Like, is it best to do it straight out of school? Is it like undergraduate? Is it best to do it after they've had some work experience? And where can people find more information to try to figure out like when it's best for them?
It's a good question. So we actually manage, the Earth Institute has a number of different programs. So it's hard to speak to just one particular, you know, one overall, strategy. We've got degrees in environmental science and policy, and sustainability management, in climate and society, and sustainability science, in development practice. So there are different requirements for each of those programs. And, you know, depending on the program, they would ask for more or less work experience. The sustainability science, which is our newest program, for example, you do need to have some sort of science or engineering background for that program. But others, you know, people come in with backgrounds in anthropology or sociology or law and can be successful. Our website, earth.columbia.edu, is a great resource. You can check out our education programs from there, from the undergraduate, master's, to doctoral, and some executive education and certification programs that we offer.
Cool. Awesome. Can you tell us a little bit more? What are some of these like different programs? Like, can you give me an example of like one program? Like, what are some of the classes that are taught? And how does this then apply into like the real world?
Yeah, absolutely. One program that has the longest history is our 1-year Master of Public Administration in Environmental Science and Policy. And so that's a 1-year intensive. It starts just after Memorial Day and runs through the following May. And so that program is really focused on integrating environmental science with management, quantitative analysis, and policy. And so the students start in the summer with, we call it the summer of science. And so they're learning basic applied environmental science. So they're taking classes in like toxicology and principles of ecology, urban ecology, hydrology, and environmental chemistry. And they're short 2-point classes that they take over the summer, not to make them scientists, but to make them conversant in the natural science areas that affect the way the earth functions. And then later on, the curriculum starts to focus more on the policy analysis and management techniques. So how do you actually, with that underlying scientific foundation and understanding, how do you help governments make better decisions about environmental policy? So they're then looking at examining pieces of policy that are being proposed within government and assessing the scientific credibility and foundation behind that, and then later developing management plans for how would that actually get rolled out, who would handle it, what would the budget be. And so it's very practical. They do different workshops around this, and then in the spring they actually work with a client, government or nonprofit agency, and they're assigned sustainability problems that the client is facing, and they work on an analysis of that and make recommendations. And so graduates from that program see, and so a lot of them are interested in going into government positions, but they also go into the public, to the private, and nonprofit sectors also.
Cool. What's your favorite, like, student success story or, like, your favorite job that, like, someone's taken out of your program?
Oh, there's so many. I mean, we've had some entrepreneurs that have come out of the CMS and sustainability management program that have started their own sustainability consulting firms. We have a graduate from the undergraduate program who started a nonprofit called Seeds of Africa that works in her home country of Ethiopia. And they do poverty alleviation and educational initiatives. So they're just, I think the students are incredibly inspiring. Like that's one thing that, you know, keeps me excited to go to work every day. They're very passionate. They're super smart. And yeah, it's really inspiring.
That's amazing. I was actually going to ask that as a question, like what keeps you inspired to keep going? Because I know it's tough, especially like with certain legislations changing and, you know, certain things that are happening as far in the political like field about like certain lands being coming unprotected. Like I know it can be really tough to feel like there isn't a good solution. There isn't a way to fight these issues.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you're reading the news and staying on top of the rollback of a lot of the environmental protections that we have at the national level, it can be disheartening. But I think within the Earth Institute, I mean, the researchers and the scientists are still moving forward. And so they're still continuing their work and they're making headways into, you know, different areas of research that, you know, could help, you know, some of the problems that we're facing today, like carbon capture and sequestration, how to provide clean water to developing communities. And so that work keeps moving forward. And you know, I think that really helps to keep the rest of the institute inspired. The students come in every day. They understand the problems and they're committed to helping to solve them. You could say it almost fuels them in a way, despite what's happening out there. Like, you know, we're still very cognizant that there are big issues facing the world and the country, and people are still committed to getting the tools to help solve them.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it does like kind of give me hope for someone who, you know, sees all these things happening. And they know that like at a legislative level, it is really tough and it's a difficult problem.
The Sabin Center for Climate Law has a project where they're tracking all of the rollback of environmental policies that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first step is to educate yourself, obviously.
Exactly.
What about people who want to, like, shift careers? I know this is something that I think I hear a lot is that, like, people will tell me they're like, oh, but I don't have a background in environmentalism. I don't have a sciences background. How can I pursue a career that's a green career?
One of our sustainability management program was actually designed for that specific purpose, to help people who were interested in making a career change to do that. So it's a part-time program. It's one of the only part-time programs that we offer. And I like to describe it almost like an MBA with an environmental and sustainability focus, because they're learning management techniques and learning about different organizational structures and how to affect change systematically within those organizations. And so we have a lot of people who come to the program who work during the day and are taking classes at night and are trying to make that transition either into a sustainability role within their current company or to, you know, to take that next step and to go into sustainability externally outside of their company.
Okay, cool. Let's definitely cover for people who are interested more in this program and doing this type of work. Where can they find more information about like the application? Like when's the application deadline? What do they need for their application? Like, do I need to take like a GRE or any type of test to get into the program?
Yeah, so the application requirements for each of the different programs varies, but the best starting place would be earth.columbia.edu. And from there, someone that's interested could drill down into the different programs and see what the application process is for those specific programs. I'd say generally we look really holistically at applications. We're not just looking for a GRE score or straight A's. We're looking for people that are passionate, that have indicated some sort of, you know, within their personal life have tried to volunteer or work with nonprofits on environmental sustainability issues. We want to make sure that, you know, prospective students understand what the program is about. So I think connecting your interests with the curriculum and what you hope to do after in your personal statement definitely helps to make a stronger application. But we definitely look at people holistically and across the different programs. You know, it's a good idea to take a look at what the
specific requirements are. Super cool. And I know that you guys have like more out-of-the-box non-traditional programs as well. Can you talk about like what some of those are?
Yeah, so we offer certifications, which are 12 credit accreditations that you get from Columbia University that can be either paired with our master's program in sustainability management and sustainability science or taken as standalone certifications. And so we offer those in sustainability analytics, sustainable finance, and sustainable water management for professionals who are looking to develop a little more expertise in a certain area to gain that, or again, to pair it with one of the sustainability master's program.
Yeah, awesome. And then you guys also do like these different trips and stuff, like the global program.
So the Earth Institute started this program called Regional Environmental Sustainability in the Middle East about 5 years ago. And it's a partnership with Columbia University's Earth Institute. We have a research center in Amman, Jordan, and with Tel Aviv University. And so this program takes graduate students, about 10 graduate students a year from Columbia and 10 graduate students from Tel Aviv University, to travel to Jordan and Israel over the summer and to learn about transboundary environmental issues that those two countries are facing and how they're collaborating on natural resource management. And then also how that collaboration on a local level could potentially be used for peace building on a larger scale with, you know, with Israel and Jordan and Palestine. So that's a program that I actually helped to start 5 years ago. And we've been running it successfully now since then. It's now offered, it was first started as a program, now it's offered as a course that can be taken for credit. But yeah, I mean, the Earth Institute does work globally. Our scientists and researchers are working in probably almost every country across the world.
Cool. That's super awesome. And what are some of those core issues that they're dealing with as far as environmental issues goes in the Middle East?
So they're looking at challenges around water. Jordan River Valley is a really important region for both Israel and Jordan. There's a lot of historical importance, religious importance around that area, but the Jordan River feeds into the Dead Sea. But all of the feeder rivers are in other countries further north, like Syria. Within that, people have diverted water for their own purposes, for providing clean water to their local people, for agricultural purposes, etc. So the sources of the Jordan River are dwindling. It's getting more and more polluted. And that means that the, you know, the ecology of the region is being affected. The Dead Sea, as you probably know, is shrinking and has been doing so for many, many years, about a meter per year, I think the current rate is. And so there's a lot of, you know, issues around water that are really important there.
And that's such a cool program. How did you start that?
So there had been a desire between Tel Aviv University and the Earth Institute to start some sort of collaboration. Tel Aviv University has something called the Porter School of Environmental Studies. It's really similar to the Earth Institute in its focus on the environment, sustainability, and research and connecting that to education. And so I had been interested in doing something internationally, and this opportunity came up, and we figured starting this fieldwork program was a good starting place. You know, we're still looking for donor funding to continue doing that on a larger scale, but we have been able to continue running the summer program, which has been great.
Yeah. Cool. Fantastic. Do you have any other things you kind of want to say to someone who's like kind of figuring out like their life goals, their career path as far as sustainability and what type of education they want to get?
I would say that I think it's important to research the programs that you're interested in and make sure that you're talking to current students that are in the program and getting access to the alumni, because I feel like that's the best way to really decide if a program is right for you and if it's worth the investment. And so I think that any, you know, university or program that's worth their salt will make that information available to you. And I'd recommend taking advantage of it.
Cool. How do people talk to your alum?
So they can either shoot me an email and I can connect them with the relevant program manager or director. Or again, by going to earth.columbia.edu, all of the contact information is readily available there. And it's honestly like a simple email away saying, hey, I'm interested in the program. I'd love to, you know, speak with one of your alumni. I'm interested in working in this area, or I see someone, you know, is working for this organization that I think is really cool. Could you put me in touch with them? And we'd be happy to facilitate that.
Cool. Random question, but do you know what your rate is for people who graduate from your program and find a job quite quickly after leaving one of these programs?
Yes, I would say within 6 months of graduation, I would say for the MPA in Environmental Science and Policy program, it's about 80 to 90% of students graduate are working.
Wow. That's very impressive.
I really believe that anyone can be an eco-warrior. There is no shortage of things that one person can accomplish to help reduce their impact on the planet, whether that's making your own food at home so that you don't use plastic takeout containers, reducing your meat intake, or going to pick up trash during your free time. If pursuing education is your route to a greener path, then take it. You may have noticed that we haven't released any episodes as of late, and actually this is going to be our very last episode. Maybe forever. Due to some personal factors, I've had to make the difficult decision of stepping away from the podcast. My intention when I started this journey into trashy beauty and trash talking with Eco Warriors was to help spread the message about the amazing work that female Eco Warriors were doing in the world, and I do feel like I've accomplished that. I hope that you've enjoyed hearing the journeys of those who are greening the planet, and I hope that's inspired you to change. And I hope that you continue to have these difficult conversations in a time where it's most needed. Signing off for the last time, thank you very much for listening and tuning into EcoWars every week. Stay green.
Thanks for talking dirty with us. Tune in next week for more Trash Talking with Eco Warriors. For more inspiration, follow us on Instagram at TrashyBeautyCo.